So that thing that you're so afraid of happening sometimes needs to happen for you to realize that you are not that thing. You are not that job. You are not that relationship. You are not that home. You are not anything outside of you. Hi, it's Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place where we discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement. If it's your first time listening, welcome. This is a place where I love taking spirituality and making it modern, fun, grounded, relatable, because the truth is we're fucking humans on this planet. We are here to enjoy our time. We don't have to take this shit so seriously. And that doesn't mean that we spiritually bypass. That doesn't mean we don't feel our feelings, but rather we go deep into them and find the gems that turn us into the phoenixes, rising from the ashes that we're here to be. And that is what today's episode is all about. So if you are new to me, you may not have heard this news, but late last year, I got a divorce. And it was by far the hardest experience of my entire life. And I've been doing this podcast for 7+ years. I've written 3 books. My book, Discover Your Dharma, which was all about what was my dark night of the soul until then, which was my parents disowning me for stepping into my purpose, going through health challenges, my body shutting down in my early 20s. Shit was pretty gnarly in my early 20s. And I thought that that was going to be my dark night of the soul. And I got it out of the way. I'm good. Now I can write my books. I can speak on stages. I can have this podcast. Like, I got the hardest part of my life done with, right? What I've learned is that these initiations come in spirals. They come in waves. They come in layers. And they're not out against you. It's not to get you. It's not to take you off of the path, but rather to bring you further into it. So in today's episode, I'm going to be sharing with you how to rise like the phoenix coming from the ashes. Whatever your initiation is right now, there are constant death and rebirth cycles throughout our lives. It's not just a one-time thing, because the thing is, the death allows space for the new version of you to come through. Because we cannot have spring without winter. We cannot remain in perpetual bloom. And sometimes you might think that you are blossoming, but there is a whole new vibrant shade of color that you do not have access to because you are stuck on the color that you have been comfortable at. You know, you may have been pale pink for a really long time and you're really comfortable at pale pink. You're good at pale pink. People know you for pale pink. But sometimes that pale pink needs to die for you to become magenta, for you to become fuchsia, for you to become full spectrum, iridescent, rainbow, whatever that next version of you is. But if you hold on to the pale pink and you identify as the pale pink, when the pale pink is gone, you won't know that there is something so much more vibrant waiting for you on the other side, should you choose it. And that's the thing, should you choose it? Because not everyone takes their life's greatest obstacles and turns them into gold. Some people stick with that story forever and they say, why did this shit happen to me? Why am I a victim of my circumstances? Why am I stuck here? And they remain in this perpetual loop. And they identify as the trauma rather than using it as the very nectar that it's here to be, here to catalyze and usher you into this new way of being. But you gotta walk the path. You gotta go into the fire for this to happen. So I'll be sharing with you more of how I did this and really what it means to be this phoenix rising from the ashes. So we've all heard that term before. So I did some research of where does this really come from? Who is the original phoenix? Like, where's she at? And I learned that this concept of a phoenix, this beautiful red and orange fiery bird that emerges from the ashes, has ancient history in Egyptian, Persian, which I'm Persian, Jewish, Greek, Roman, and many other forms of mythology. So there's something about, I believe these phoenixes actually existed on this earth plane back then, because, you know, just like mermaids, we talk about mermaids in many different cultures. We talk about fae, fairies, gnomes, elves. I believe these actually were beings that now are living in other dimensions, but that's just me. But there are many stories about this phoenix. So the story of the phoenix is that the phoenix is this beautiful, red, vibrant, fiery bird that, you know, illuminates the sky. Many even mistake it as the sun because it's so bright and it has a very, very long lifespan. They say around 500 or so years. And when it's time for the phoenix to die, the phoenix actually creates a nest for itself. And this nest is made out of sage, myrrh, and cinnamon, and then it actually self-combusts within that nest and turns itself into ashes from which a new phoenix is born. So this really embodies the cycle of death and rebirth. From letting yourself go, from allowing yourself ceremonially to step into the death portal, from your ashes, from what is left, the new version of you can come through. And this really is such a metaphor to life. In my own journey of navigating this divorce, which was by far the most painful thing I've ever gone through, when I was in my death portal, I could feel the parts of me that like wanted to be at rebirth already, that were like ready to be on the other side, ready to share my wisdom with the world, like ready for this to be part of my past rather than my present moment. And on a deeper level, I knew the more that I let myself die, like fully just die. And when I say die, I mean all former identities of me go to the dust. The different roles that I played, the different belief systems that I had, the different structures such as the patriarchal Middle Eastern upbringing that I was raised with, such as my identity as a wife in this way, such as only seeing my life with this person, all of these parts of me needed to fully die. And coincidentally, or not coincidentally at all, because I actually believe there are no coincidences, I was supposed to be in Egypt at that time. So I actually went to Egypt. Two of my friends joined me, and we just did ritual and ceremony in so many temples and pyramids and caves. And I allowed each layer of me to die even further. In fact, I became kind of obsessed with death. I was writing a lot of poems about death at this time because it became my ultimate muse. And this was never something I was really drawn to, for example. Before, I was kind of someone that was like, yeah, I know death, but I never had a huge experience with death of someone very close to me. My grandparents had died, but I never had like a parent or a sibling or someone very close to me die. So I had never really dove in fully into the spirituality of death until this process. And this process made me realize how sacred and important and initiatory death is. Because when we allow that version of us to die, we create that space for that next version of us to come through. So what does that look like? It looks like questioning, how did you even end up in that situation in the first place? Because on a higher realm, I do believe that our souls choose our unique paths and experiences. And I believe that all experiences are here to serve us. And everything, every emotion that we feel is actually medicine for our souls. So let's say you talk to someone and you really like them and they reject you. That rejection was the exact medicine that you needed to sit with and to ask yourself, when was the first time I felt rejection? What does that feel like in my body? When I go back to that moment, what am I still storing onto from there? What identity have I created around I am not good enough? I am not worthy. And that's actually where the nectar, the juice is, because that rejection on the surface level was actually the tip of the iceberg of this greater feeling that you were probably holding on to your entire life of, when I put myself out there, I get rejected. So I might as well not put myself out there, which a lot of us have some version of this story. So letting yourself die is looking at, how did you end up in that situation, following those threads, asking yourself, when was the first time I felt this way? Maybe a specific memory comes up, or maybe just, you know, a time period in your childhood comes up. Ask yourself then, what did I make this mean about me? What story did I create around it? Because as children, we look at patterns in our lives and we create stories. So you may have created a story that when things are really good for a period of time, they're going to turn really bad. So you might as well just brace yourself because things can't go well for too long. So you might as well just start preparing. And that might be your story that shows up, that then when things are going really well in your life or well in your relationship or well in your career, you self-sabotage it because you're looking for the other shoe to drop. And this becomes your story throughout your life, that then because you do that, you actually manifest it as your reality, which then makes the story even stronger of, see, that time things were going well and then something bad happened, and that time and something bad happened, but it's actually you because of this belief that makes the bad thing happen. So do you see how your beliefs are actually causing you to take action that is then strengthening that belief? Even though you don't want that belief, you never cognitively agreed to that belief, but on a subconscious level, at some time in your childhood, it made sense to you. Because you're listening to Highest Self Podcast, I already know you are someone that is committed to your spiritual growth journey. You are someone that dives deep. You are someone that asks big, meaningful questions. You are someone that doesn't want to be at the shallow end of the pool, but wants to dive all the way in. And likely you've been feeling that your career really needs to be in alignment with your whole self, that you're sick and tired of having one version of you that's at home and another version of you at your job, but you're really wanting to integrate the two so you can be paid for your gifts. You can be paid to be you. You can be paid for your wisdom and actually be using your time creating a positive shift in humanity. Well, if I'm speaking to your soul right now, I invite you to come join us at the Dharma Coaching Institute. This is my school that is the world's first and only school that certifies soul purpose and spiritual life coaches. So over our 6-month journey together, you're going to learn everything you need to become a coach. I'm talking about how to ask people questions, how to hold space, the exact forms and contracts that you need. And then we're going to be diving into all of the Dharma framework tools. These are tools that I personally have designed that can help you help anyone find their soul's purpose. So I'm talking about the Dharma blueprint, the Dharma chakra system, Dharma journey spiral, so many different tools that are paired with somatics and nervous system healing and heart healing and all of these different tools that you hear about on the podcast actually practiced. And then in our last 2 months together, we dive into all of the business training. So how do you price your offering? How do you structure it? How do you build a podcast, grow on social media? I share with you all of these things alongside my business partners, Neetha and Ajit, who are masters in their field, to co-create this experience that will take you from maybe not fully knowing your soul's purpose to actually having a career as a soul purpose coach, helping other people find theirs. We've graduated over 1,500 students and have hundreds of coaches around the world hosting retreats, creating online programs, working with celebrities and moms and veterans and everything in between. And this really is the forefront of where coaching is heading, because the truth is, right now, people are wanting to shift. They are knowing that living the same day over and over again is not serving them, and they are desiring to step into their purpose. And that is where you come in as a purpose coach. So if you're interested, you're curious to learn more, we have plenty of free workshops coming up, different experiences, so you can actually come on a Zoom call with me and feel what it's like to be in Dharma Coaching Institute. So head over to dharmacoachinginstitute.com. That's DharmaCoachingInstitute.com. You can find that link in the show notes, learn everything there, and come join us in our spring class, which is open right now. So we only open doors twice a year. So if you're listening to this right now, that means doors are open for enrollment. So head over to DharmaCoachingInstitute.com to learn more and sign up to join us in our spring cohort. And I can't wait to see you there. So we must look at the underlying beliefs that brought us into that situation in the first place. You know, the situation might have been, I can't expect that much from men because no man is ever going to be able to emotionally meet me. The evidence may have been created from your father not being able to emotionally meet you, or your mom, or anyone. So now you have this belief of, well, I might as well not even try to have really deep emotional connection with men because every man is pretty blocked off emotionally. So let me not even try to go there because I already know I'm going to be let down. So let me settle with men who don't emotionally meet me. And then what happens? You end up with these men, which strengthens the belief and puts you in the exact situation that you did not want. So it's really important for us to reclaim our responsibility in these roles. And I know it sucks, and I'm not saying that anyone deserves anything bad that has ever happened to them at all. I wish well for every person at all times. However, we live in a dualistic planet, and we do learn through contrast. And oftentimes, we need to experience that contrast and that pain and that death to have the life, the joy, the opportunity, the learning. And I do believe as we get more intuitive, we're able to pinpoint things that are off when they're more in the subtle realm before it needs to become this like cataclysmic big thing. But sometimes it needed to be as big as it was for you to take action. And God, your guides, the universe, spirit, whatever you want to call it, knew you would not have done anything about this if it was not as drastic as it was. So if things are really drastic, thank you. Thank you for making it so obvious that I have no choice but to make a big decision in this area of my life, because it probably was, or it definitely was, more in the subtle realm. Nothing happens accidentally, but we just weren't picking up on the signs. We weren't picking up on the little expressions. You know, in my book, Discover Your Dharma, I talk about how we are all born in alignment with our dharma, our soul's purpose, our full expression. And that is how we're meant to be. We're meant to share our gifts. We're meant to be in flow. We're meant to be in aligned community and relationships. However, we have so normalized as a society living out of alignment that we've veered off of these highways, and the universe responds in karma. Karma is the barricades on the sides of the highway. And they're not out to get you, but they're there to bring you back into alignment with your dharma. So at first, the karma is like, tap, 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 something's off. Something's off with your job. You really don't like it here. You're feeling really anxious when you come to work every day. Or something's off in your relationship. You guys are really distant. There's a lot of space between you. There's a lot of words unspoken. Or in this friendship, you're feeling a little irked off. You know, something's up. But most of the time, we don't listen. So then the universe is like, okay, let's crank it up a notch. So she listens. Punch, 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 punch. It might be a fight, an eruption, a panic attack, something a little bit bigger. Now, sometimes we pay attention. Sometimes we make the shift then. However, sometimes we don't. We keep going in that direction because we're used to our parents accepting lackluster lives and relationships. We're used to society normalizing it. We're used to watching pretty much every show and every movie and people like hating their lives for the most part. So it's become normal for us. It's like, who am I to think that there's something better out there? So then the universe is like, okay, let me shake that shit up a little bit. So she pays attention and makes a change. And then it's these bigger circumstances that you have no choice but to listen. That might be, you know, a health issue. It might be an accident. It might be an eruption. It might just be something so big that there's just no way for you to not notice this. And sometimes we needed it to get there, and including for me too, because one of the things I've noticed with spiritual people is we become really good at accepting. We accept everything. We're like, okay, that's all. That's good. That's good. And accepting, you know, true acceptance does not mean that we are okay with lackluster lives, you know, relationships, conversations. It doesn't mean we settle for a life that is out of alignment for us. It doesn't mean we settle for disrespect. It doesn't mean we settle for not living our dharmas and not being met on a soul level. That's not what acceptance means. Acceptance means to stop denying and resisting our reality, but to really look at what is. So accepting the fact that you don't actually love your job, or you don't actually feel like this relationship isn't working, or you don't actually feel met in this friendship. The acceptance is to stop living in denial and to be honest with yourself and accept this is where it is right now. I'm not resisting it. I'm not denying it. This is just where it is. And I accept that. And from that place of acceptance, of being clear, then you can start taking aligned action to change it. But acceptance doesn't mean you're stuck there forever. And I think that this is really important because a lot of us spiritual people, we cope and we put up with a lot of things that we don't need to be because we're so good at going with the flow. And we're so good at making everything work. And we're so good at not having a problem and taking it easy and, you know, doing all the work within ourselves so we don't expect other people to do the work. And sometimes what the medicine we actually need is to speak our truth and to have boundaries and to say, no, I'm actually not going to tolerate this anymore. And when you actually cross that threshold of, no, this is how I will and will not be treated with love and respect, that's actually when the true death cycle can begin. But if you're still holding on to those former ways of being, of making your family proud and getting validation from them, of going with the flow for everyone else to not ruffle people's feathers, if you're still holding on to those old patterns, you're not going to have this big phoenix rising from the ashes moment because you haven't allowed yourself to fully die. And what I noticed for me is, you know, for me, the relationship ending was the catalyst. But then a lot of other patterns that I had going on underneath that started coming to surface. You know, I just became so much more aware of my word and like every word that I am using. And is it true? You know, like just for example, if you're laughing, instead of saying I'm dead, I'm like, I don't want to say I'm dead. Why would I say I'm dead? You know, like, isn't that kind of strange that in our English language now people are like, ah, dying, I'm dead, deceased. It's like, our words are our wands. I'm not going to say that. I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm fully alive in my full spectrum. So I became much more aware with my words, which transitioned into my relationship with my family. Of, you know, before I would have kind of conversations with my mom and, you know, I wasn't really in my full truth and it was just a little bit still on the surface. And after this, it made me realize like full transparency or bust, because I'm not going to live my life wearing a mask and having these like fake ass conversations. It's like, I'm going to share with you my fucking soul and bleed on the paper. And if you take it, love it. If not, love it too. But I'm not going to wear this mask anymore. And that actually really strengthened our relationship. Of course, it came with confrontation. But when you make these big shifts, of course, there's going to be waves that occur because that person was used to you operating from a certain way. It was used to relationship having a certain texture. So when you change it up, and by the way, any moment is an invitation to do things. You might have been friends with someone for 20 years and be like, you know what? This dynamic needs to shift for me to feel really good in it for where I'm at right now. And that doesn't mean that you're selfish, but it actually means you want to show up more fully. Being selfish is to pretend that everything's okay when it's not and having separation between you and that person. But truly caring about someone is sharing your heart, even when it's vulnerable, even when it's scary, even when you can face rejection from it, because you know that full truth is the only way forward. And that's actual love. Love is not bullshit. Love is not, I'm going to be this micro version of me to satisfy you, or I don't want to shake shit up too much, so I'm going to hold back. That's not love. Love is I'm going to speak my truth and radiate my full expression and show you all parts of me because I know that's going to give you the permission to do the same. And I want all parts of you too. And there's so much beauty when we can like unveil those like layers of dishonesty and these little micro lies that we say on a daily basis. And we can be so just vulnerable and truthful and authentic, which makes us more alive, which makes our relationships and our work and everything so much more rich and juicy. Like I feel on the other side of this death, just so much more alive than ever before. I'm like, within one day, I saw my dog yesterday for the first time in 4 months because I've been traveling for the past 4 months. And I saw my dog walking through the door. I'm just like crying. And then I'm like laughing. And then I'm like doing karaoke. And I'm like, I just feel so much Shakti life force energy, that divine feminine juiciness. And it's so seductive, like for myself, of like this richness and this texturedness and this heart being blasted wide open, that I'm like, full fuck yes, I have blood coursing through my veins. I have emotions. I have a heart. I have a womb. I have this ability to create and connect and to channel and to transcend and to deepen. And fuck yes, I am alive. And before, I thought I was alive. You probably think you're fully alive. And there are deeper levels of aliveness for me too. But we can't access them unless we allow for the death of our former selves to occur. And that death comes with being really honest with yourself of all of the ways that you are not living your full truth. And if you're wondering, well, I don't know, I think I'm living my full truth fully. Okay, I want to ask you, what is your biggest fear? What is your biggest fear that could happen in your life? And sometimes if you would have asked me this 6 months ago, what's my biggest fear? I don't even think my marriage ending would have even come to my mind. It wasn't even on my mind. But I would say once it happened, it was for sure my biggest fear. It felt like a living nightmare. So that thing that you're so afraid of happening sometimes needs to happen for you to realize that you are not that thing. You are not that job. You are not that relationship. You are not that home. You are not anything outside of you. And sometimes those things that you are holding onto, that you have attached your perception and your identity to so deeply, need to be stripped from you so you can realize that you are not that. You are so farther beyond. You can love. You can even have attachments, but don't hold on to them too tightly because life is unpredictable. And when we surrender into the mystery of things unfolding exactly as they are meant to, we are so much more grateful for the things that show up in our lives as they do, because we know it's just a passage of time. We don't hold on to the summer with all of our might because we know the fall will come and the leaves will shed, and God bless it, because that's what allows the new flowers to germinate in the spring. So bless it all. Bless the transitions. Bless the underworld. Bless the shadows. Bless the initiations, because that's what allows us to soar like the phoenix, full-flamed, fully embodied in our queen sovereign energy. And also don't be attached to that state either, because there will be other initiations as well. So from this death cycle of really being aware of what are the patterns, the beliefs, the things that have brought me to the situation now, and am I really willing to let go of them, which requires tough conversations, which requires taking action. Maybe it's quitting a job, leaving a relationship, moving, doing the hard thing, the biggest fear. Maybe it's stepping into your living nightmare, but knowing that it's not going to be like this forever. You know, when I was 23 years old, going through my first dark night of the soul, and at that time, I had really bad health issues. I didn't get my period for over 2 years. And when I went to doctors, they told me my body had gone into perimenopause. So I stopped producing estrogen and testosterone. They told me, you know, you're probably going to be have osteoporosis by the time you're 50, probably never going to be able to have kids. And you're probably going to have to be on hormone replacement therapy for the rest of your life. And it was a really scary time because I was going to so many doctors and they just, you know, kept prescribing me more prescription medication, but not telling me what was wrong. And at the same time, I really wanted to write this book on Ayurveda, which is the world's oldest health system and the sister science of yoga. But I didn't know how to get a book deal. I never met an author. I didn't know how to make money doing this. It felt like this faraway dream. And my parents were telling me, you're crazy. This is never going to happen. You're like trying to be a starving artist. You're never going to make money doing this. You need to get a normal job. So it was like my health was being challenged, my relationship with my parents, which I realized so much of my life was to get their validation and their approval, and not also knowing what was on the other side for me. I didn't have any evidence. I had never made a book or really anything happen yet. I was 23 years old. And it just felt like, okay, I don't know where to turn right now, because if I try to get a normal job or be a real estate agent and do what they want, part of my soul is going to die that I don't want to kill. The part of me that has hope, the part of me that is creative, the part of me that knows there's something bigger, that's not the part of me I want to kill. The part of me that needs to die is the part of me that's still living for external validation and approval, that wants the pat on the head, that wants the you're safe, or this is the guided path, or you're guaranteed to make it if you do this. That's the part of me that needed to die. And it wasn't easy. It took my dad literally telling me I was dead to him for me to decide, oh shit, I only have one lifetime. And if I don't create my own reality, then guess what? Someone else will. And I knew I didn't want to live a life like my dad. I didn't want to take advice from someone whose life I was not inspired by. Again, I didn't know whose life I was inspired by, but I knew it wasn't that. And I started to meet different people, you know, in Bali and different places, and seeing that they were creating their own career paths as spiritual life coaches and, you know, doulas and tantrikas and all these things I'd never even seen before. And I was like, wow, you can create a career being yourself and sharing your gifts. And all of them were sharing with me their dark nights of the soul and the moments that they felt like there was nowhere left to turn. And that became their job, basically, to take those challenging moments of their lives and sharing it with other people. And I was like, oh my God, imagine if I could share this moment of my life and help other people, even though I'm not even on the other side yet. But that became my muse. That became my inspiration. So I used to tell myself, you know what? Right now, you're just at the shitty part of your memoir. Just the shitty part. You know, everyone needs a shitty part, right? It's like, and shit hit the fan and here we are. And I would just tell myself that as things would get worse and I would be, you know, fighting with my mom and I wasn't sure what to do and I wasn't making money. I was then living in India in a hut with like rats in it for $2 a night in the back of an Indian restaurant in South India. And like, you know, it was intense. I kept telling myself it's just the shitty part of my memoir. And guess what? It was the shitty part of Discover Your Dharma. So that did actually happen years later. So then here I was now, 8, 9 years later, 2022, going through an even shittier part of my memoir. But this time it was like being awake within a dream. Because I knew, I just knew it had to become part of the message that I'm here to share. Even though right now it feels like my world is falling apart and I never expected this to happen and I feel so hurt and I feel so betrayed and it feels like God is really testing my limits of how much pain I can hold. And I had to hit a surrender moment where I literally saw black. I was like, oh, I understand the Amy Winehouse song Back to Black now. I never fully got it until then. I'm like, oh, I understand that energy of like real rock bottom. I had never fully been there before. Like that energy, maybe you felt it before of just like, Jesus, take the wheel. Like, I don't know. I do not know what to do at this point. And when I hit that moment of just full surrender, I knew the word surrender before, but I never really understood what it meant until that moment of just like, I give myself to you. God, show me the way. I am listening. I am fully here. I, as a human, have no idea what to do next. Show me the path. And I went to sleep that night, just like, by the way, on top of this, I was like in a hut in the jungle by myself in Bali and the phone wasn't working, like just to add dramatic effect to all of this. And I just felt so fucking alone. So alone. And so not the way that I thought my life was gonna go. Maybe you felt that too. And it felt unfair. But I just knew if God is real, there has to be something greater than me guiding this, even though right now my mind can't figure out what that looks like. So when I gave myself and allowed myself to just fully surrender and let spirit lead me, the next day I knew I just needed to get out of that depressing ass hut in the jungle. I needed to be around humans. The next step was I just knew I needed to be around humans. And it was like a holiday week in Bali and there were so many people and every hotel was booked. I didn't even know where to stay. And I ended up booking a random hotel and turns out some friends that I knew were there that I didn't even know were there. And then they started inviting me to things that they were doing and gatherings, and we started going to temples, and I started going to this water purification temple called Tirtha Empul, which is all about clearing your ancestral karma and the things that we're holding on to. And I start going there and praying and releasing and allowing myself to see the greater picture of this scenario, which was very ancestral, of many layers of patriarchy that has been repeated in my ancestral generations in the past. I come from a history of forced child marriage, and I was on a forced child marriage, but my grandmothers all were. My grandmother was 11 years old when she was forced to marry my grandfather, who was 27 at the time. And the ways that, you know, sometimes we think our ancestors are like so far away from us and we're totally healed and that was their problem and here we are now. And it made me realize like how close we still are. How something that actually happened to your grandmother was not that far from you at all. In fact, you lived in your grandmother's womb because you as an egg were in your mother's womb, which was in your grandmother when she was in her mother's womb. So we were all actually in each other's wombs. And this is why the maternal lineage is so important, because we literally were all within each other when we were formulating. So I began to recognize just the bigger picture of what was happening here and my role and responsibility to choose sovereignty as a woman in my lineage, the first woman to ever get a divorce. And I began to recognize just the magnitude of this, of like really stepping into my power and letting go of any threads of feeling like I am not whole or I cannot be alone. And that completely needed to die as well for me to step into my true sovereignty of I have everything that I need and I can fully trust myself. And that the next iteration of my dharma requires me to step into the unknown, because the path that I was on, it served me for that time period. But this next version of me needs to spread its wings like the phoenix from the ashes. And that is the only way for me to share the message that I'm here to share and meet the people that I'm here to meet and create the ripple effects of change that I'm here to meant to. I would have stayed in that apartment, in that marriage forever had something big not forced me to look at everything that I was not looking at and rise. So I share this with you because sometimes these situations that happen to us are our ultimate gifts. And we need to hit that surrender moment to let go of our plan. Let go of the need of the ego to figure it out. And this is the next stage after surrender, because your ego is going to want to say, okay, well, what happens next? We need a plan. For me, it was very much like, where am I going to live? I need to sign a lease. And it was like this fear and uncertainty of like, I don't know where I'm going to live. Where's my stuff going to go? Like, I was really holding on to that. And every time I would get anxious, I would go back into the, where am I going to live, little plane. That's where my ego felt important. It was making a big decision there, because your ego is going to take something that's uncertain and obsess over it, because that's how it can feel itself. Because the ego wants to feel important, wants to feel like it's helping. So it's going to take something like, what am I going to do about my money? Or what am I going to do about this? And it's going to scrutinize this situation and think about it so fucking much just so it can feel itself. But you got to realize that's not you. That's not your highest self talking. Your highest self does not obsess about these things. Your highest self goes beyond. So those threads of us are us actually trying to find safety by going back to the old version of us. So I could feel very quickly, I was like, okay, let me sign a lease back on the west side of LA and go back to my friends, because that's what I knew. But I knew this has the potential to be the greatest awakening of my entire life. Do I want to instantly go back to my former self? Or do I want to take this opportunity right now to spread my wings and step into the unknown and be in the void as long as I possibly can, because I know that is where the magic is.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. I was just at a family wedding, and there's nothing that helps you see your patterns than spending a few days with your family. I swear, it really helps you just get right in there. And I witnessed how much better I was at setting boundaries, at speaking my truth, at just not letting things get to me and truly come to this place of acceptance. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for doing therapy. And this is why I'm such a proponent of doing your own inner healing work, because it allows you to look at the world in such a different way and not let the things that used to trigger you bother you anymore. So you can be free, so you can be liberated, and so you can be your fullest expression. So I really recommend BetterHelp, because it's affordable. It's something you can do online. You can choose the right therapist for you. In fact, you could try different ones until you find your right fit. It's really convenient. You can even text with the therapist. So it's perfect for someone who's busy, on the go, maybe never has done therapy and is wanting to start right now. So if you are ready to live a more empowered life, go visit betterhelp.com/Sahara to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's betterhelp.com/Sahara for 10% off. And you can find that link in the show notes.
So I thought I was going to Egypt for 2 weeks and coming back. And, you know, after dying in Egypt, I went to Dubai and I met these incredible people who I'm going to work with to bring spirituality to the woman of the Middle East. And I know there is a lot more for me there to bring this ancestral wisdom back to the women of my homeland, specifically women in Iran who are being killed right now for dancing, killed right now for listening to music, killed right now for sharing their voices, killed right now for just, I would have been killed right now had my parents not left. So feeling the ancestral thread that brought me back to the Middle East. And then from there, ended up in Bali, fully just healing for a month of ritual and water temples and somatic experiencing and Watsu water therapy and breath work and just feeling and going through the waves and having so many beautiful community members, people who are have been friends of mine, meeting new people and weaving with them and just like beginning to water that new soil that had just been placed. So it's like, first you need to tear the weed out, put the new seed in, water the soil, nourish yourself. And then after Bali, I came back to the US, you know, did some podcast episodes, grounded, and then the journey brought me to Trinidad. So I died, I healed, and then I fucking twerked. And I spent 2 weeks in Trinidad just in full liberation, full expression. Like, I have never danced so much in my life and felt so free, because in Trinidad, the carnival there is, first of all, it's freaking amazing. But everyone is just so body positive, like any shape and size. They're like in thongs, just like shaking their asses on the street. And it's so free. And they're so playful with their sensuality and their expression. It's like someone can come and dance up against you and you're just dancing. And then it's like, okay, bye. Like, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean, oh, okay, do we need to like talk and have a drink? It's just like playful. And that's exactly what I needed to regain the sense of joy, because, you know, it brought up a lot of really deep shadow work. And, you know, I'll tell you again, I went into another portal of the shadow work later, but I also needed to come back up for air and get that joy. And then that joy brought me to higher levels of joy I've ever experienced before. Higher levels of just like full Shakti expression. And in the carnival, you know, like getting a costume there is a very big deal. It's like takes months and it's back orders and it's this whole thing. So I just surrendered. I'm like, whatever costume I end up with, I'm totally okay with. And there was like so much drama. I couldn't get a costume. The day before I end up with a costume, I opened the box and it was like full mermaid conch shells, like my dream costume. Like if I were to have designed a costume, it is exactly what God handed me. And it's just, again, when you surrender, you are surprised in ways that your conscious mind could have never figured out. I was just like, whatever costume I end up with, it will be good. And God's like, we're going to give you your fucking mermaid costume. And it was like feathers and just, it was me in a costume. If you go on my Instagram, you'll see it there. And just danced and danced. And if you guys follow me on Instagram, I shared my manifestation for this week is to wine with Nicki Minaj, because she's from Trinidad. And I'm like, literally, you know, you're walking on the road. I went with my best friend from college, who's from St. Vincent. She's Caribbean. And I've been part of Caribbean culture for a long time. A lot of friends from there. So we're just like dancing on the road, having a good time. And then we see our friend who's a photographer, and she's on this bus, and we get on this bus and we're like dancing, and we see some other friends. And then next thing you know, Nicki Minaj gets on the bus. And I'm like, now here I am literally winding up with Nicki Minaj at Carnival. Of course, because that's what happens when you surrender. That's what happens when you let spirit lead. Your greatest manifestations can happen that I wasn't like doing like ritual over like, okay, I need to twerk with Nicki Minaj. It was like, that would be cool. And I was just in my joy. I was in my expression. I was following the flow. And then I end up twerking with Nicki Minaj. So it's like even fun things like that happen as like a little nudge from the universe of like, okay, don't worry. Like, we see you here. Your thoughts are being reflected back to you because you're living in flow. So did that. And then the biggest thing that happened was it has been a dream of mine for the past 9 years, since I was 23 years old, the first time I went to Envision Festival in Costa Rica, which is this gorgeous festival in the jungle of Costa Rica on the beach, biodegradable, like incredible mix of like spiritual with like dubstep, with South American reggae music and workshops. And I've been going to this festival for the past 9 years. I've spoken there a few times and I've always wanted to DJ there. Like the DJs there are on point. And, you know, it didn't work out. I tried, but they were like, we just have so many DJs and it just didn't work out. And long story short, in Bali, I felt called to go to an improv workshop, which was a shadow work improv workshop, all about acting out your shadows. So the assignment was, who are the people that annoy you the most? The types of people, or even someone specific in mind. And then we were doing scenes being the person who annoyed us the most. To realize the thing that annoys you the most about people is actually the unintegrated part of yourself. So if you are annoyed with people who are pushy, chances are you are so afraid of coming off as pushy that you have gone on the other extreme of like never asking for what you want because you never want to be that person who's too pushy. So then by acting out that really pushy person, you begin realizing, well, there's actually a benefit from asking for what you want and being assertive. And it doesn't mean I need to go the opposite spectrum. Can I embody a little bit more of this in a healthy way? Doesn't mean you need to go to the extreme of being pushy, but how can I take some of this energy now as a muse? Or, you know, for another girl, she was like, I really don't like loud people. For her, she was very quiet, or, you know, all these different things. So I was very called to go to this workshop because I love improv, like you guys know, and, you know, exploring shadow works and consciousness. And then when I was there, I was assigned to this random girl and we were supposed to dance our life, the story of our life that was happening right now. No words. So I'm paired with this complete stranger and I am dancing the full death and rebirth of the past few months of this divorce and the unknown and dying in Egypt and coming back to life and not knowing where I'm going to go and the confusion. And, you know, I'm just dancing it. And it's just like the perfect way to meet someone, right? I think everyone we meet, instead of like, hey, how are you? Like, where'd you go to college? It should be like, dance what's happening in your life right now. Cause there's so much more depth we can go into by moving our bodies and sharing our expression than like this rehearsed word and the way that we use small talk and these certain things that we say that really are making us stay on the surface level of connection. So I end up paired with this girl. I dance my story. She dances hers. We're like, we need to drop in. We end up having dinner that night with her fiance and a 5-6 hour long dinner. We're going into the depths of our souls. And then they're like, do you want to DJ our wedding? And again, I'm in the surrender experiment of just saying yes to everything. I'm like, sure. Did not know anything about their wedding there because I had Envision Festival. I'm like, great. I actually really wanted to go there. So perfect. Yes. Turns out they had a stage at Envision Festival and I'm like, perfect. And then I started announcing and more people wanted to come. So I end up like the headline Friday night, 10 p.m. DJ at their stage at Envision Festival. Over 1,500 people show up and it was the best night of my life. Like so in flow, so in my power, like so many people coming up to me saying that was the best set I've been to at a festival, period. Because my DJ sets are not your typical conscious DJ sets. I call them Shakti twerk. So I bring in global bass music, tribal beats with like Afro beats, reggaeton, 2000s hip hop, Brazilian funk, Because to me, the hips are where we really store that juiciness. That sacral chakra energy is where we hold on to our creativity, our pleasure, our abundance. You know, the juiciness, the flow of life that we're speaking into is all in the hips. It's all in the sacral chakra. So we can go down there and connect to earth and really feel ourselves. We open ourselves up to higher levels of bliss and joy and just orgasmically feeling the wave of life. So a lot of like ecstatic dance sets, the music's very up here. It's like, ooh, and everyone's like kind of moving their hands. Like, you know, those like spiritual dance hands that everyone does, like, which is fun sometimes. But for me, I want to move. I want to do hip circles. I want to ground. I want to grind. I also want to like let my inner teenager out. That's like, let me see that thong, baby. That thong, 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 thong. So like I did a remix of that song with like a reggaeton drop and just making it fun and playful because that is why we're here. Like we go through these death and rebirth cycles for the bliss and the joy and the expansion on the other side. But here's what happens often in the spiritual healing community. We get so obsessed with just the death, just the shadow work. Then we're like, oh my God, I got more work to do and more work to do. And then we're in this perpetual healing cycle that never ends. And I am not saying bypass it. Like, trust me, y'all, I've been in the death portal. And right after this, I actually went back into one. However, it's the bliss and the joy and the creativity and the sharing your dharma and sharing the expression. That's what actually gives you the fuel to be able to make it through the waves. It's like you come up for air, you go back under, and then you're able to hold your breath for longer. You can go to deeper depths, find deeper things because your nervous system feels safe. But if you're in this perpetual like, oh my God, this is wrong. I have to heal my entire ancestral lineage and all the shame they've ever held on to and all the rage of all of my past lives. And it's never ending. And you're going to be healing for the rest of your life. By the way, you are going to be healing for the rest of your life. We all are. But it's those moments where you're living your full dharmic expression that makes it all worth it. That you're like, if this is what's on the other side, then bring on the shadow work, bring on the death and rebirth. Let me feel the depths of my pain and suffering because I know I will rise on the other side. It's not about perfection. It's not about let me heal, heal, heal so then I can eventually have a good life. You need to make the choice. You know, after Bali, I didn't just end up in Trinidad. I made the choice of this is what I want to do with my energy. This has been on my bucket list for years, something I've always wanted to do. And now this is my time to do it. So you need to make the choice, take the action, sign up for the thing, book the flight to have those peak life experiences that make it all worth it. And then you fill yourself up with so much radiant, iridescent light that then you have so much more capability to feel the depths of the shadow because you're not afraid of it, because you know what's on the other side. So from Costa Rica, DJing this festival, then I went to Sedona. And that was a whole other layer. I did this thing called a soul adventure, which I'll tell you more about on another episode. But it was basically a full week of one-on-one healing specifically for what I was working on. So ancestral healing, healing my relationship with the masculine, shamanic rituals of like connecting back to spirit animals and other realms, EMDR, you know, cognitive therapy, like somatic therapy. I mean, so many sessions, like 2 to 3 a day, pelvic floor therapy. And from that place of now having that stability and that joy in my nervous system, I was able to go to such deeper levels that in that initial really vulnerable state after the death, I couldn't have handled it. Maybe it would have just taken me so low. So I was able to do that and recognize patterns from my childhood and how they're connected to my ancestral lineage and put the pieces together of the puzzle in such a way that I'm not looking at this experience in confusion, but actually in so much clarity and gratitude. Because now I can see, I'm so grateful that everything happened exactly as it needed to because it brought me to where I am now. And I love this version of me. So I share with you what my Phoenix rising from the ashes happened. And you don't need to go to Egypt and Bali and Trinidad and Sedona, but these places that I end up really embody the energy of the different layers and phases. And if you can really look at it from a grand scheme, it's waves. It's you go into the underworld and you come back and you rise to greater heights. You go back into the underworld and you come back and you rise to even greater heights. And if we don't choose these different portals, they're going to happen to us regardless. So you might as well choose. Because when we get too comfortable, then life is like, okay, time for your initiation. And it's one that we did not consciously choose. But when you choose of, I'm going to spend this week going on, you know, a really deep healing retreat or Vipassana or meditation practice or whatever the thing is, and really go into the depths of my soul. It doesn't need to be a week. You might do a psychedelic journey or sit with plant medicine or do therapy or past life regressions or whatever it looks like. But it's so important to choose going into these things, because then you can prepare yourself, be ready for it, and take in the full medicine without resistance. Without the, why is this happening to me? I didn't choose this. I was supposed to be over here. But like, okay, it's time. We're gonna do some excavating right now. You know, in Egypt, they're always excavating new parts of the desert to see, you know, maybe things moved. Maybe there's something new there that we didn't see before. Same place, they'll excavate it again because they know Earth is alive. And just like our subconscious is alive, there are layers of patterns in your subconscious that you just did not have the safety to access before, that now if you actually do some deep inner work, you'll be able to access. And there are also layers that you will only be able to access a few years from now, but you got to build the foundation. So this is why I highly recommend, and I have been my own guinea pig of this, of all of the practices I've been sharing on the podcast I've been doing, from somatic therapy to, you know, hypnotherapy to pretty much any healing modality you could imagine on planet Earth, I have been doing. And it shows me that the healing journey really works. Because here I am, you know, and I'm still in it and I'm committed to this, and it's a lifelong practice. But it normally takes people years to recover from divorces, traumatic experiences, health challenges. And I have been able to transmute it just at such a more rapid state because I have surrendered into it. Because I'm not resisting it, I'm not ignoring it, I'm not going back to my ordinary life and pretending everything's okay and bypassing it. Like, I am fully committed to healing it. If I wake up and wanna cry one day, guess what, bitch? I'm gonna wake up and cry and feel and go back to where it came from. Oh, it's my inner seventh grader. She feels unloved and unchosen and not important because she had a crush on this boy and he didn't like her back. And I will go into that and cry for that girl and bring her back in and do an inner child healing and hug her. And we're going to tell her, we're going to go for a massage and we're going to listen to some Lil Jon. And she's like, yay. Like, I am so committed to feeling. And that's why I can feel this like joy and this radiance that like people just come up to me and they're like, You just have amazing energy. I just want to be around you. I'm like, thanks. I've been working on it. You know, it didn't come coincidentally. It came because I am committed to feeling my full spectrum. And the more I can feel my anger, you know, I did a full rage ritual where I just channeled the anger of all of my grandmothers, these young girls, 11, 12, 13-year-old girls forced to marry an older man, sometimes the second, third, fourth wife of this man. And I let myself just fucking feel that rage of like, how did my father just give me off to this man? And like punching the pillow and feeling that rage, because guess what? That rage is living in my DNA, whether I choose to feel it or not. But I can deny it and suppress it, and it will show up some way in my health, show up some way in microaggressions, show up some way in relationships or down the line. Or I can choose it. I can choose to feel it, create a ceremonial practice of right now, I'm going to feel the rage of my ancestors and let myself feel the depths of it. Because then what happens when you fully allow yourself to feel something, it no longer has a hold over you. It washes over you. And then it's like after a baby cries, they go, ah, and they exhale and they release it and they don't have to hold on to it any longer. And then your heart opens so much and you're like, wow, I'm so grateful that I'm able to choose. I'm so grateful I have freedom. I'm so grateful I have choice. I'm so grateful to be fucking alive. And then you feel that other end of the spectrum, which is that full gratitude. So feel your full spectrum. Let yourself be in the different stages. Choose to go into the underworld and also choose to go into the joy, because both of them are conscious choices. They're not going to happen from you sitting on your couch and watching other people live their lives on your phone and wondering why your life doesn't look like that. Was it easy for me in the midst of the most traumatic thing in my life to schedule all these flights and know where they were going and have a bag and checking in and everything and out of a thing? And now I'm in the, was that easy? No, it was not easy at all. And on social media, you see the highs, but you don't see the long car rides and bags missing and stomach viruses. You don't see those things. Traveling does take a lot. Moving takes a lot. Being on your own for the first time, these things take a lot. But that's life. You can't just keep yourself in a cage because you're afraid of the discomfort that happens when you leave it. Because then that cage gets more and more and more confined. And then you're wondering, what was my full potential? And I believe that is probably the saddest thing to live with, is knowing that you didn't live your full potential. That there was so much more juice and purpose and bliss and love out there for you, but you didn't have the courage to move through the discomfort to feel it. That to me is the greatest tragedy. So choose it, feel it, live your motherfucking Dharma. And this is why I created Dharma Coaching Institute, which is the world's first and only school that trains certified soul purpose and spiritual life coaches. So you actually will learn how to take your pain and move it into your purpose. You yourself will move through the journey of the Phoenix rising from the ashes. It is a 6-month program where every week you are on live calls, coaching, you are getting feedback, you're on Q&A calls with me every single week, you're going through our tried and proven pathway. We have graduated over 1,500 students, many of which right now are full-time soul purpose and spiritual life coaches, creating their careers out of this. They are writing books. They are hosting retreats. They are getting raises at their corporate jobs, getting to be the purpose coach within their companies. They have private practices. But most importantly, they're able to take the obstacles in their lives that could have brought them down and use it as the nectar and the fuel to alchemize. You know, what is alchemy? Alchemy is turning bronze into gold. So they are taking that bronze and transmuting it into the very gold that they're sharing with the world, and they're receiving that abundance back. And this to me is our highest calling as human beings, to transcend the path of karma, because then we know anything happening to us really is ultimately the medicine that is here to serve us. And we turn that karma into dharma. We turn that obstacle, we turn that pain, we turn that mess, and we make it into our message, our purpose, our greatest gifts. Our gifts, our offerings, how we are here to be of service. And guess what? It feels so fucking good. And you are the only one in the world who can share your message and your journey, because you are the only one who's walked it. So in this time that people are worried about being laid off and what's going to happen, when you are living your Dharma, you are one of one. You are irreplaceable. There's no one else who can do what you are doing, because it's only you who can tell your story in the way, who's gone through the exact life experiences you've had. And those experiences are what someone on the other side is waiting to hear. They're waiting to hear someone like you who comes from where you are, who's gone through what you've gone through. How are you able to go through the other side? And it doesn't need to be the exact story. Maybe you haven't gone through a painful divorce like I have, but you can see yourself in bits of my story. So ultimately, we are all here to learn from each other. And if you feel called to turn the very obstacles that you have moved through into your gifts that you share with humanity and the very things that you are paid for, like to me, the ultimate thing on earth is to be paid for your unique gifts, not paid for something that like anyone can do that's like a reoccurring thing, but paid for your magic sauce. That's like your creativity, your unique perspective, the way that you see things, the way that you share things. That feels so good, to like pay your rent with your thoughts, with your consciousness, with your heart. And that's really what living your Dharma is about. It's stepping away from this wounded healer paradigm of, I need to suffer, I need to do everything for free, I need to be the martyr, but rather I get to be abundant. I get to receive. I get to step into my power. I get to do things my own way. You know, for me, I love wearing bright colors and DJing and dancing, and I get to make that part of my career. I'm also a multi-seven-figure CEO, and I run big teams, and I create books and podcasts and, you know, go to temples and do deep initiatory practices because I am a multidimensional being, and so are you. And when you step into your purpose, you get to let all of these parts of you come together. You no longer feel the separation of there's me at my work and there's me with my friends and there's me with my partner and then there's me by myself and they're all four different versions of me and no one really knows the other version. But rather, it's I am fully me dancing with these different archetypes at all times and all of them get to come online. I get to bring my motherly energy into my coaching practice. I get to bring my creativity into my business. I get to bring all parts of me, my mysticism into my practicality because they are not separate. They are all what make me, me. And that's really what living your Dharma is about. So not only do you do this for yourself, but you learn the very tools to share this with other people. So we have different methods. It's the proprietary Dharma discovery method, such as the Dharma blueprint, the Dharma journey spiral, the Dharma chakra system. And these are very frameworks that have literally worked with tens and thousands of people. Because if you think about it, we have over 1,500 coaches right now who are all coaching hundreds of people each. So there's tens of thousands of people that these practices have worked on. I've even had a stranger from the street. My friend had a sign said, I will help you find your purpose. And she took a random stranger from the street, brought them to me, and I had 3 hours to help a total stranger find their purpose. I used these tools and she did. We have the video to prove it. So you don't need to be in the dark of like, okay, like I know I've gone through really big things in my life, but like, how am I going to create a career out of it? And how will I know it will actually help people? And how will I know people will get results? And how do I know it's going to be worth their money and it's going to be worth it for them? How will I know these things? Baby, that's why we created Dharma Coaching Institute. Because we guide you step by step. And so you're first doing the tools on yourself. Then you're doing it with your other peers in the school as well. Then you're practice coaching with people in your life. Then you're practice coaching with people that aren't in your life. And then you actually take on paid clients. And we guide you step by step on how to do this. So by the end of the 6 months, a lot of our students, most of our students have at least 3 paid clients by the end. In fact, we make that part of the requirement. But many of them are full-time coaching, especially those who are already health coaches, yoga teacher trainers, they have some sort of teaching background. A lot of them are up and running with their coaching business by the end. So it really just depends what you put into it. So you're able to share these. And that's the beauty of like passing the torch of I step into my Dharma and I help you step into yours and you help someone step into theirs. And that lighthouse keeps giving. It's like when you light a candle and you have a flame, you give that flame to someone else. It doesn't diminish yours. Yours is just as strong. In fact, it's even stronger because it's being passed along and they give their light to someone else and their light to someone else. And before you know it, you illuminate the world. And this is the mission that we are on in Dharma Coaching Institute. We are here to create a more illuminated world where people are recognized for their gifts, where we honor and celebrate our differences and the unique paths that have brought us there. Where your story heals, where you are fully seen and heard and recognized for you, where you get to be you full time and you get to be surrounded by other rainbow sheeps. Sometimes in our family, we're the black sheep, so we like to call ourselves the rainbow sheeps. But you're surrounded by other rainbow sheeps, other people who have always felt a little different. But the reason why we feel different is because we are here to create the new paradigm. The new ways of being, the new ways of relating, the new ways of diving deep and not having surface level connections, but really honoring and seeing someone's soul for who they are and everything it took for them to get to where they are right now. I mean, I've had a journey to get to where I am right now, and I know you have too. And these journeys get to be shared and expressed because when we like throw them to the side, like, oh, it's not, you know, that really hard time I went through, that's not important. You know, I got to be my professional self now. It's like, no, that hard time you went through, that challenge is the greatest offering that you can share with someone. Don't separate and compartmentalize that. But bring that to the table because that is what has made you you today. And the more you share that and the more you pull from that, the more it awakens and inspires me. And I'm able to pull and share from my story. And we're able to make sense of our paths and understand how we got from point A to point B and then where we're going to point C. And the red thread connects it all. And we know we are guided. And we move from victim to creatrix consciousness because we know we are always being guided and supported by a greater force that is always taking us somewhere that we cannot see right now because all we have are the flashlights that show us the next 5 feet ahead. Because that's all you need to see. You don't need to see the very end of the highway because it hasn't been chosen. You are choosing it right now with every step you are taking. There are omnipresent directions. It's like being in outer space. There's no roads in outer space. You could go up, down, diagonal, omnipresent directions. And that's how life is. Every little micro decision takes you into a completely different quantum timeline. So which do you choose? Do you choose to continue living in your cage? Continue living the same day over and over and over again? Continuing to settle for a lackluster life? Or do you choose to make this moment the invitation for you to step into your highest self? I know you already know what you choose, and it can be fucking scary to step into the unknown. Trust me, I'm still in it. I still don't have a home. I'm living in Airbnbs, but I have surrendered into the flow and it has taken me places my conscious mind could have never taken me before. And it's just the beginning. And so it is for you. So if you're listening to this right now, I believe there are no coincidences. Part of your soul is ready to hear this message, whether spending the next 6 months with us at Dharma Coaching Institute is your path forward to have that momentum and that direction and be part of a community. And you love the podcast and you want to be with other people who listen to the podcast in this like beautiful way that you're creating a new career path doing it. If that's your flow, beautiful. I can't wait to see you in class. And even if not, maybe this is just one of those little taps and nudges for you to know that there's another way of being that you haven't fully stepped into yet. And I invite you to really sit with what that is and to have the courage and strength to take action on it before something really big needs to happen. Honor the whispers of your intuition before they turn into screams. And that is how we can live the path of grace, to move with the whispers of the wind. To live a life of ease and joy and expansion and surrender and trust that we are always being guided step by step of the way. So I thank you so much for being here. You can learn more about Dharma Coaching Institute, check out our docu-series, learn more about the community, see our curriculum, see different students' experiences, be part of our live Q&As that we do, all on dharmacoachinginstitute.com. You can find that link in the show notes. Again, that's Dharma. DHARMA coachinginstitute.com. You can find that link in the show notes, and I'm super excited to see you in class. Namaste.